This week on Making Contact.
The governor is doing this because he hates unions and he hates state workers. Yeah! And this is his way to pay off his friends who helped him get elected.
It began as a protest by a few students and teaching assistants over deep budget cuts, but quickly turned into a history-making movement of working people in Wisconsin.
It's not a budget issue. It's about taking away our rights.
Was the occupation of the state capital in Madison, Wisconsin, a resurgence of organized labor in the United States? Or was it the last gasp for unionized workers as they face continual erosion of their rights? Over the next 2 weeks, we'll hear a retrospective documentary on the 2011 Wisconsin Uprising, produced by Workers Independent News. I'm Andrew Stelzer, and this is Making Contact, a program connecting people, vital ideas, and important information.
Free Paul Walker! Free Paul Walker!
Almost no one saw it coming. Neither the attack on unionized workers by Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker or the extraordinary response from the people of Wisconsin. In February 2011, hundreds of protesters occupied the state capitol for weeks, sleeping overnight and building a small temporary city complete with cleaning crews, information and first aid stations, food distribution, and a people's open mic for free expression. But the Workers Independent News radio production team has been based in Madison since its inception in 2000, covering one of the most active labor movements in the U.S. Community radio station WORT is located only a few blocks from the Capitol and has been a nerve center of local and statewide activism. This documentary is a look back at those weeks that shocked the nation and the world and may have reinvigorated a dying labor movement in the United States. It features audio collected by WORT and includes many short reports by Workers Independent News, which were being produced throughout the occupation of the Capitol. Setting the scene is Workers Independent News executive producer, Dr. Frank Emspach.
On Thursday evening, February 11, 2011, news began to trickle out that Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker would introduce legislation gutting collective bargaining for public employees, cutting state wages by approximately 10%, and offering state assets on no-bid contracts. Earlier that week, the governor announced, quote, no negotiations, unquote, in response to offers by state employee unions to make concessions equal to the budget shortfall. Union leaders knew that Governor Walker targeted public workers, but few suspected the scope of the attack, especially since Governor Walker had avoided discussing these issues during his campaign. He had focused on the budget.
Thousands of people rallied at Wisconsin's Capitol in Madison Tuesday to protest Governor Scott Walker's attack on public worker collective bargaining rights. State workers, Madison firefighters, Local 311, students, union, and non-union workers all gathered to defend labor union rights for public workers. AFSCME President Gerald McEntee vowed a strong fight for state worker rights in Wisconsin.
This is an attack on every Wisconsin worker. It's an attack on the
freedom
of every Wisconsin citizen. It's about breaking the back of the middle class. It's about repression, oppressing and dividing the workers of Wisconsin. Are we going to let them get away with that? No way.
Jordan, a University of Wisconsin student from Menominee, marched into the rally with fellow students.
I would like to see workers be able to retain their rights to collectively bargain as a unit and not be unfairly targeted by our governor.
This Wisconsin teacher and American Federation of Teachers member welcomed the solidarity of Madison firefighters with other public workers and said Governor Walker's attack on unions will hurt Wisconsin's economy.
We just saw the firefighters turning out. That was really, really important to see them, you know, rejecting Walker's, separating them from us. None of these proposals are going to save the taxpayers' money. They're going to destroy a good economy for the middle class.
Forward!
With thousands marching outside, at least a couple thousand more people were inside the Capitol signing up to be heard as the Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee began hearings on the bill that would destroy public worker collective bargaining. WORT, Madison's community radio station, recorded some of the comments.
I was born into poverty. I have fought my way through school since age 5, and I almost have my PhD. I am so close to being middle class, finally. First person on my father's side of this family to go to college, and I just refuse to believe that this is so close to things. I'm going to be told, I'm sorry, You're just too bad, you know. You should have been born into a rich family.
You're politicians. You want to be reelected. I think this bill is going to absolutely bite you in the butt if you pass this. You have so much opposition to this, and I think that the recognition needs to be made that this is a corporately sponsored attack on the working class of America, of Wisconsin. This is pitting the lower class against the middle class as the upper class laughs its way to the bank. If you do not recognize what this is, I'm appalled.
I came here at 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm just testifying now. So any of you listening, you've got a long wait, but stay here, because this is a citizen's filibuster. As long as we stay here and testify, this bill can't get rammed down our throats, which is what is happening.
On Wednesday afternoon, February 16th, organized labor began to make its presence felt. Thousands of unionized workers from all over the state began to gather at the state capitol. But the movement went far beyond official calls for unity. Union workers wearing jackets or carrying handmade signs indicating their organization came to the Capitol on their own. They were joined by thousands of working people, many of whom said they would be in a union if they could. State union leaders began to mobilize their members to come to the Capitol. The largest state teachers organization, the Wisconsin Education Association Council, suggested that teachers gather at the Capitol. Teachers did so in the thousands, many with their students. Public sector workers from all parts of the state and in any conceivable occupation came to Madison. Over the coming weekend, WEAC called all 98,000 of its members. Every day, national labor leaders from almost every union came to Madison to express their solidarity. Gone were the divisions between public and private sector workers. Building tradesmen, skilled machinists, police and firemen all came together in what became the Wisconsin Uprising.
Spirited resistance to the stripping away of bargaining rights for public workers in Wisconsin continues as the capital city's schools are shut down by the protests. Jesse Russell reports.
On Wednesday, the city of Madison's school system shut down because an estimated 40% of teachers called in sick. Teachers in Wisconsin are one of the groups that would lose collective bargaining rights under proposals by Governor Scott Walker. James Madison Memorial High School social studies teacher David Olson spoke at Wednesday's rally about why the teachers shutting down the schools was a powerful message.
Not only because we have so many teachers, SEAs, counselors, nurses, psychologists, and social workers who marched here today, but also because there are thousands of students making their way down the road.
The previous day, more than 700 students from Madison East High School walked out of class to join the protests. And on Wednesday, students at Madison's West High School were planning to do the same. Students have been holding walkouts throughout the state, with additional walkouts reported in Stoughton, Eau Claire, Viroqua, Appleton, and other towns. The Appleton Post-Crescent reported on Wednesday that since Walker announced his proposals, school systems in Wisconsin have seen an increase in teachers submitting requests for early retirement.
Thousands of high school students came to the state capitol in Madison, Wisconsin. Here are the voices of some of the students from East, West, and La Follette High Schools in Madison and Wanakee High School. Wanakee is a conservative Madison suburb.
I'm a junior from Wanakee High School, and I completely do not support this bill for several reasons. I understand if we need to deal with our budget, and if the teachers take a hit, I don't think that's fair. But even if they take it now, and the collective bargaining rights are taken away forever, in a few years, when our economy is on the up, they're not going to be able to argue for a right and correct pay. And any pay that the district wants to give them, they can. Teachers are already not paid what they're worth. Teachers have inspired me to do what I want to do in my life, and I know they've helped so many people.
Hi, Dan Curry. I'm a junior at Wanakee High School. Here just to support the teachers that I've had over all 11 years that I've been in school now. You don't get enough chances to thank them. You don't really think of it during the day when you're at school, you know, just thanking them for teaching us everything that they give us. I'm really here just to thank them. This is a good opportunity for it.
My name is Alan Chancellor. I'm a senior at La Follette High School. Yesterday, or all this week actually, we've been participating in the protests at the Capitol. We are all high school students, and we're there supporting human rights. It's going to affect more than just, you know, the teachers, it's more than just the workers. These are all basic human rights that we all deserve.
Hi, my name is Alejandra Prado, and I come from East High School. We went to the Capitol Square to help support because we're all a community, and we deserve to support each other.
My name is Angelica Alvarez. I'm a senior at West High School. I don't believe that just because we're not part of a union that we should be left out, because we are all humans and we all deserve human rights.
Hello, my name is Jessica Ruiz. I'm from West High School. I'm a senior. We're the ones that work here, although I'm a student. My parents work here. We're the ones that are cleaning the hospitals. We're the ones that make this country run. And if we don't fight for our rights, they're going to be taken away.
The students will be the future of the progressive and labor movements. Their comments can inspire us all.
Despite the escalating protests that had brought tens of thousands of people now to Wisconsin's capital, Wisconsin's Republican governor refused to back off. And since Republicans control both houses of the state legislature, they cut off the public hearing on the budget bill and attempted to force the gutting of collective bargaining for public workers through the legislature on a fast track. That angered protesters occupying the Capitol around the clock, making them even more determined to maintain the capital city occupation. At the same time, 14 Democratic state senators realized that the only thing they could do to slow down or block the stripping of collective bargaining rights was to walk out of the state Senate session blocking a vote. So they did. They left, eventually heading to Illinois. Protesters were heartened by this bold action and began calling the senators the Fab 14. Without a quorum, Republicans were helpless to advance the bill gutting collective bargaining rights for public workers. That intensified and inspired the protests while stymieing the Republican attack on unions.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
You're listening to This Is What Democracy Looks Like, Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT Community Radio, Madison. I'm Doug Cunningham. Tens of thousands of Wisconsinites from all walks of working life continue to storm the state capitol in ever-escalating protests against a Republican effort to end collective bargaining rights for public workers. For days, they have packed the three-story Capitol building and rallied in the state capitol square, some even sleeping overnight in the Capitol Rotunda. Governor Walker exempted police and firefighter unions from the gutting of collective bargaining, but divide and conquer failed miserably. From the start, firefighters and police stood with their brothers and sisters and other public unions in strong solidarity against the attack on union rights. Working families marching in Madison were uplifted and inspired each day of the rallies as firefighters, some in uniform and fire hats carrying firefighters for labor signs, marched with them, bagpipes and drums playing. Madison Firefighters Local 311 President Joe Conway expressed his solidarity from the state capitol steps Thursday.
Scott Walker drew that line and tried to separate out labor from the firefighters and the police officers. We knew what we had to do. Whenever a line is drawn, we are on the side of all of labor.
Republicans in the state Senate couldn't vote to kill collective bargaining rights Thursday because Democratic senators went to Illinois, preventing a quorum required for the vote. Protesters in the rotunda cheered at the news. Mary Newton is a teacher from Janesville, Wisconsin.
I'm just so glad that the firemen came in today and supported us. I cried. I'm so glad I emailed Tim Cullen because he led the Democrats out, and they're in Illinois right now, which is not too far away, and so they can't vote. I just can't understand why this is a budget issue. It's not a budget issue. It's about taking away our rights.
Teachers have shut down schools to protest the attack on collective bargaining rights. Wisconsin's capital continues to reverberate with the sound and fury of workers and students united. On Saturday, February 19th, Madison witnessed the biggest pro-labor rally yet, as about 100,000 people rallied in the frigid temperatures, with thousands more inside during the day and hundreds of protesters, including police officers and firefighters, sleeping overnight in the Capitol occupation city.
We'll be right back. You're listening to Making Contact, a production of the National Radio Project. If you'd like more information or for CD copies of this program, please call 800-529-5736. Because of listeners like you, this show is distributed for free to radio stations in the U.S., Canada, and South Africa. To find out how to support us, download shows, or get our podcasts, go to radioproject.org. We now return to the first of a two-part retrospective on the 2011 Wisconsin Workers' Uprising, produced by Workers Independent News and narrated by Doug Cunningham.
This is no more about the deficit than the war in Iraq was about those imaginary weapons of mass destruction. The governor is doing this because he hates unions and he hates state workers. And this is his way to pay off his friends who helped him get elected. Those rich persons and corporations are not being asked to sacrifice at all. Only you who will struggle financially are being asked to sacrifice. There is one last word. Let me give you one last word from the Bible. Jesus said, "Do unto others as you would have them do unto you." Is this what you would like done to you, Governor Walker?
February 21st. The third Monday of the month, and the South Central Federation of Labor, the regional body of the AFL-CIO, meets. The Federation is in the eye of the storm and in an unprecedented situation. 75 local unions belong to the Federation. It coordinates political and other actions in the city of Madison and surrounding counties. As thousands are camped out in the state capital and workers from all over the state are converging on Madison, delegates begin to discuss what organized labor should do. The following motions were passed by the South Central Federation of Labor Monday, February 21st. Motion 1, quote, "The South Central Federation of Labor endorses a statewide general strike, possibly for the day Walker signs his, quote, budget repair bill."
Inside the Capital Occupation City, several large poster-sized sheets were taped to the marble wall of the Capitol that read, "In the event of a general strike, I vow to support workers." There were hundreds of signatures on those petitions vowing to support a general strike, including this man from Madison.
Standing up for your neighbors and taking care of each other, that's what unions are about. That's what, you know, a civil society is about. So, absolutely, if my neighbor loses his job or gets laid off, he's welcome in my home and I'll support him. We have steam fitters here, we have steel workers here, firefighters, police, cops. You know, these are everyday people that kind of hold society together, and this bill is just wrong. It's trying to tear that down.
Gary Lave of Poinette, Wisconsin, also was signing the general strike vow of support. He says he's related to former Wisconsin Governor Gaylord Nelson.
Gaylord Nelson was my second cousin. He started collective bargaining when he was governor. Where should I be? Right here. Carry on, people, carry on.
As news of this general strike authorization began galvanizing workers even more in this struggle, another bit of bizarre news broke on Monday, February 21st. Ian Murphy of the Buffalo Beast website called Walker posing as the billionaire David Koch and got Walker to speak to him for 20 minutes about Walker's efforts to smash public unions.
Well, I'll tell you what, Scott. Once you crush these bastards, I'll fly out to Cali and really show you a good time.
All right, that would be outstanding.
Walker also told Koch he had thought about planting some troublemakers within the pro-union protesters' ranks in Madison. Walker, still thinking he was talking to Koch, compared himself to Ronald Reagan when Reagan smashed the Patco Union just after taking office. Walker believes it was a defining moment for Reagan's political career. Walker seemed to have Reagan fantasies for himself with the effort to bust Wisconsin public unions. And it just may define Walker's political career, although perhaps not in the way that Walker would like. Walker talked about tricking the Democratic state senators into coming back to the Capitol to talk with him in his office so Republicans could use a technicality to go ahead and vote to end collective bargaining. Walker and the fake David Koch had a good chuckle together when Koch suggested Walker bring a baseball bat to his meeting with Democratic senators.
Bring a baseball bat. That's what I
do. I have one in my office. You'll be happy with that.
What's disgusting? Union busted. What's disgusting?
Another day, another high-energy protest of thousands at Wisconsin's state capitol in Madison as resistance continues to an attempt to destroy collective bargaining rights for public workers. Solidarity rallies were held in 38 states to protest attacks on collective bargaining rights for public workers, and the Egyptian labor movement has expressed its solidarity with Wisconsin workers. Wisconsin Education Association President Mary Bell.
This is not about pay. This is not about benefits. This is about busting the force of the workers, the voice of the workers in their workplace.
A free Rock for Your Rights concert featuring Tom Morello, Wayne Kramer, and others drew thousands in Madison as protests rang through the city's Capitol Square and echoed off the marble walls inside the Capitol Rotunda Monday night. The 14 Democrats in Wisconsin's Senate held firm, staying away to block a vote on the bill that would strip collective bargaining rights from public workers. Workers are on the march to defend collective bargaining in Ohio's state capitol as well. Republicans there are also trying to push through legislation ending union rights for state workers. AFSCME's Stacey Benson Taylor.
AFSCME is taking 14 to 15 buses from around the state up to the state house so that we can rally other unions. The transit union, many of the private sector unions are also taking buses up so that we can stand in solidarity against this attack on public employees.
And always remember, no matter what Governor Walker, the Mubarak of the Midwest, says, this land is your land. Yes.
As I was walking that ribbon of highway, I saw above me that endless sky.
Tell me what democracy looks like.
This is what democracy.
You're listening to This Is What Democracy Looks Like, Wisconsin's Worker Uprising, produced by Workers Independent News in conjunction with WORT Community Radio, Madison. I'm Doug Cunningham.
I see my people. Some are grumbling and all are wondering if this land's still made for you and me. Tell them!
Yeah! Oh, you can't scare me. I'm sticking with the unions.
Wisconsin's working families are vowing to last one day longer than the governor trying to rip away collective bargaining rights as tens of thousands of people kept up the robust, passionate battle to defend the American dream in Madison. The Madison-based South Central Labor Federation officially endorsed a general strike if collective bargaining rights are taken from Wisconsin public employees. Joining the Madison resistance rallies, IBEW President Ed Hill urged continued solidarity in this epic fight for workers' human rights.
The powers are all lined up against you with all everything that they have. But we will resist every assault and carry the day, won't we? And the only way to do that is through solidarity.
We asked President Hill if workers and their unions should be prepared for a general strike if these collective bargaining rights are taken away from public workers.
I think we should be.
Wisconsin AFL-CIO President Phil Neuenfeld derided a New York Times article that said that Wisconsin union solidarity was fraying.
Because I don't see it. What I'm seeing is working families and unions coming together like they never come together before.
Yeah! Solidarity forever. Solidarity forever.
Thousands continue to pack the state capitol rotunda, and hundreds are sleeping overnight in the rotunda, keeping a constant vigil in defense of collective bargaining rights. Professional Firefighters of Wisconsin President Malin Mitchell said he and other firefighters slept in the capitol rotunda with other protesters Monday night.
They told us that the governor was possibly going to kick everybody out at midnight. But I like to think and I like to hope that because we slept there, that they decided maybe to do that another night.
Dave Harswick of the Wisconsin Education Association says the fiery workers' movement ignited in Madison must not be allowed to go out.
We have just begun this fight. We must take this home. This fire that's been lit here cannot die. It cannot die.
Wisconsin's mass resistance to attacks on collective bargaining has helped spur Indiana Democratic state senators to walk out, blocking a Republican vote on anti-union legislation there. And there was a union working family lobby day of action in Michigan in the fight against attacks on workers and unions there. Carol Turner is with UAW Local 6888 in Michigan.
It's anti-worker, anti-union legislation, and they want to totally annihilate us.
Day 9 of the battle for Wisconsin labor rights included Jesse Jackson and Wisconsin Congresswoman Tammy Baldwin walking in solidarity with workers. Out on the Capitol steps, the Raging Grannies sang labor songs, and a Dropkick Murphys song closed out one of the Madison rallies.
We gotta take the bastards down.
The governor was scheduled to give a budget speech to the assembly March 1st. He was not about to try it in the fully occupied People's House, so he ordered police to announce that the deadline for overnight protesters to leave was 4 p.m. Sunday, February 27th. Protesters in the capital occupation city, who had always had excellent communication and a relationship of mutual respect with Capitol Police Chief Charles Tubbs, began Saturday to prepare for the Sunday clearing of the Capitol.
Pass this information along once you hear it now. Text it, Facebook it, let it out, and you Twitter it. The official word from the Capitol Police is that the building will resume regular business hours tomorrow. What that means, the building closes at 4 p.m. tomorrow. We will no longer be able to sleep here in the Capitol. So tonight is the night. Tonight is the last night. We encourage you, all of you right here, and all of your families and friends and neighbors, right now, invite them here to stay tonight. If there was ever a night to be here, to stay here, that time is now. The Capitol is rightfully ours tonight. Now, that's by law. That doesn't mean that that's going to happen. So listen to this. There are currently efforts being organized in a very calm, very calm and organized way in conjunction and communication with the police. So listen, as we speak, our goal is to maintain our presence at the Capitol for as long as we need our senators to be out here. We will be here. So remember, whose house?
And that's it for this edition of Making Contact. Tune in next week for part two of this documentary on the 2011 Wisconsin Workers' Uprising. This program was produced by the staff at Workers Independent News, including Frank Emsbach, Jesse Russell, and Doug Cunningham, with contributions by WORT Radio in Madison and Molly Stenz. Log on to laborradio.org to order a CD of the full-length one-hour documentary. You can also do that at our website, radioproject.org, or by calling the National Radio Project at 800-529-5736. Check out our website, radioproject.org, to get podcasts, download past shows, or help make a difference by supporting our work. Lisa Rudman is our executive director, Con Pham associate director, Kyungjin Lee and Esther Mania producers, Carl Jugban Nunsingh volunteer coordinator, Lisa Bartfi, production intern, and Barbara Barnett, Dan Turner, Alfonso Hooker, Alton Bird, Judy Huang, Catherine Lee, and Deshaun Moore volunteers. I'm Andrew Stelzer. Thanks for listening to Making Contact.